May the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. I was not going to share the gospel reading, but I think it will. I believe this is God. I know it's possible for people to take advantage of the grace of God and use the grace of God to practice sloppy agape. And that it just doesn't matter if you sin, because where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. And of course, God's grace, it's a sad thing if when people do that. But the truth is that when sin abounds, God's grace does abound all the more. And I think grace, much more than law, tests a person's heart about where they really are in the Lord. When Jesus washed the disciples' feet, and he said, this is an example that you wash each other's feet, and if you don't let me wash your feet, you have no part with me. Jesus was giving them an example about forgiveness. Jesus talked about forgiving 70 times 7, which really he was just saying, you just don't ever stop forgiving. And washing their feet, he was saying to them, I anticipate the fact that your feet are going to get dirty. It says that those who are given to him out of the world, who were in the world, he loved them to the end at the beginning of that passage. These were men who were in the world. They were fallen people like you and me. And though God had awakened their hearts, we see them in the book of Acts becoming these spirit-filled people, men and women of God who profoundly impacted the world. And yet, sometimes we miss the mark, don't we? We're created for glory, but when you sin, you come short of the glory. And Jesus anticipated the fact that we will miss the mark sometimes. And that's why he washed their feet and said, this is part of the deal. If you don't let me wash your feet, if you can't be honest about your sin, then you can't experience the wonders of my grace and forgiveness, because Jesus is not about aha, catching you or rubbing your nose in it. He's about transformation. He paid an enormous price to set us free from the powers of darkness, to deliver us from evil. And the purpose of the cross, it's God's justice was satisfied at the cross, but the whole point of satisfying God's justice wasn't just so God would quit being mad at us and would start loving us. Scripture says that this is a demonstration of his love, that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. He loved us before we ever came to him. And so the whole point of removing the sin issue is so that he could pour out experientially the love he had for us in limitless favor. That's always been his heart. And to transform us. And to separate, and to put as much distance between us and the effects of the fall on our humanity between now and heaven as possible. He came to liberate us. That's what the word redemption means. To liberate us from what we did and to liberate us from what we had become. That's really his heart. It was never about, aha, caught you, see, I told you you were imperfect. Now I want you to feel terrible about this rest of your life. Where sin abounds, grace does abound all the more. But it tests the heart. Grace tests the heart of a person who really passionately desires to follow the Lord, to be conformed to his image, and those who are just playing at it. Christianity. Nothing tests a heart like grace, but there's nothing more transformational than the grace of God. If you go out to sin on purpose because you know grace is there, then this is not even a conversation for that kind of person. I would first have to say you need to make sure you're actually saved. But in the process of pursuing Christ-likeness, pursuing, growing, abiding in him, and we fail, it's the grace of God that more than anything else teaches us to fear him. That's what it says in the Psalms. It's the God's ability and commitment to forgive us reveals his goodness more than anything else. And it's his goodness that causes us to believe in him, to want to get up and go forward. I've shared this before. There's an old Hebrew, Jewish saying that angels stand over grass and look over the grass and say, grow, grow. And that's an old saying to reveal the heart of God. That's God's heart for you. Grow, grow. And when you fail, grow. I want you to grow. I want you to be transformed and changed. The gospel reading from Matthew does, the one from Luke is when Peter came and denied the third time, and it says that at that moment Jesus came out and looked at him. And then he went out and wept. And I'm convinced it was a look. Jesus had already told him what was going to happen. And Jesus had told him that when you fail, I'm praying your faith won't fail. That you won't get so discouraged, so full of guilt and condemnation that you just wallow in this rest of your life thinking somehow you're disqualified. And I think Jesus looked at him with a look of understanding and unconditional love. And that's what broke Peter's heart. I believe he encountered grace in the eyes of Christ. I believe those eyes of fire are the fire of God's love. He encountered grace. And it was transformational. And also in the, not right after that, as Jesus is on his way to the cross, Demas, or Dismas, who the name historically given to the one, the thief that was transformed, he and both he and the other one were mocking Jesus the whole time. Yet Jesus on the way to the cross said, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. And the language there, the grammar there, is that something he repeated over and over and over again. So by the time they were on the cross, and they'd been mocking, the scourging, the mocking of the soldiers, they had heard Jesus repeat again and again, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. They're doing the best they can with what they have to work with. Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. And at some point, one of the thieves who had been mocking him also looked at him and said, Lord, remember me in your kingdom. Huh? What kingdom? He got revelation that this was the Messiah. This was not like some normal person. He had never experienced love like that, where again and again, the only words that were uttered out of Christ's mouth was, Father, forgive them, Father, forgive them. He encountered the goodness of God and the forgiveness that Christ kept offering again and again, and it transformed his life. He realized this is not some normal person. Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. You never encourage a person to go out and sin. Jesus came to set us free from sin. He came to set us free from evil. But when we do, one of the real transforming things is we discover how good he is in our failure. Just like we find how good he is in his favor, but one of the greatest expressions of favor is when we fail, that he's there saying, grow. He doesn't say go, he says grow. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.